This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0 and as part of our podcast series. You're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Michelle Ray, who's the General Manager of Volunteering Waikato. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks, Roseanne. Lovely to be here again.
It is great to have you here again. Yes, it's like this time last year. We were doing a podcast and a show around the upcoming Trustee Tinder event, which obviously last year was the first time we gave it a go. So working in conjunction with Volunteering Waikato, Community Waikato, and Alan Chu from Houston Technology, we put on a, what would you say, speed dating event where potential governance volunteers actually get to meet all these various different voluntary organisations that are looking for board members or trustees or committee members.
Yep, that pretty much describes it.
All right. So if I put you on the spot and say, so when is the event coming up this year and where's it going to be held?
So we are looking at the 9th of June, which is a Tuesday night, I think. Mm-hmm. We are back at the Fallet again on Seddon Road. So from 5:15, doors are open. We're really looking forward to another successful event.
Yeah, so how did it work last year? You know, we've sort of just said it's sort of like a speed dating sort of event. How did that actually work?
So we have organisations come along who are looking for people on their board or committees, and they sit around the outside. They all have a table, and then we do run it as a bit of a speed dating. So people come along who are interested in being on a board, and they get to move around to the different organisations, hear about what they do, what sort of people they're looking for. And it's a great chance to sit in and talk face-to-face about the different organisations and the different opportunities out there. It is a speed dating sort of format, so we do ring the bell every sort of 8 minutes, 8 to 10 minutes, I think, so everyone gets a chance to talk to the different organisations in the room.
And I believe from last year, what some organisations did well at, or what other organisations have learnt if they wanted to do it again, was to try and be as prepared as possible, maybe have some information, like a little information pack that they can just hand over to the people that come and sit down beside them so that they can get a bit more of an understanding, especially if you've only got about 8 minutes to tell the full story. And I know this year what we're looking to do for the first time is through the registration process is giving you an opportunity to really think about, you know, are there any specific skill sets or experience, knowledge that you're looking for in particular, which is something that we do definitely recommend boards, committees do from time to time, is just sort of look at who's around the room. What sort of skills, experience do they have, and where are the gaps?
So yeah, absolutely.
We'd call that like a skills matrix, I suppose.
Yes.
Flash word for that.
Yeah.
And quite often that's, you know, a great indicator to you that maybe it's we're lacking a little bit around financial management. You know, we're relying too heavily on just one person.
Yes.
or two people. Maybe it's, you know, in particular if you're organisation that's really struggling to promote and market your organisation. Maybe it's around someone who's got some marketing or communications experience. They might even work for a marketing communications company. What are maybe some of the other sort of skills or experiences that groups should think about?
I think you make a really good point about taking a look at your board and seeing what are the gaps that are there. Skills Matrix is a really great tool to have. I think there's other things like your legal and compliance, whether you need HR skills or IT, digital sort of stuff. Risk management is another one you might be looking at. We've also got Tititi. So it's, yeah, there's lots of different sort of skills that are valuable on a board. So, yeah, it's a really good chance to, yeah, have a good think about what you're actually missing or what might enhance your board.
Mm. And I actually have seen lately that a few organisations have actually, when they've advertised for someone to come on to their governance group, is actually looking for a specific board chair, someone who's had experience in chairing meetings before. So they've, you know, they've got people, you know, on their committee or board who maybe, you know, not very experienced but passionate, but no real experience, you know, in previous governance roles or in chairing various meetings. So I've seen that a few times now where people have directly wanted to look for someone to come in and actually take on that board chair role.
Yeah, I think with boards, you know, there can be a mix of experience and inexperience, and obviously the chair is a really important role. So, yeah, often people will be looking for someone that does have that experience to help guide the team.
And also, too, the type of organisations that can apply to be a part of the event. It's open across all sort of not-for-profit organisations. So what are some of the different sort of sector groups that, you know, maybe would be encouraging to come along?
Yeah, I mean, it's really anyone who's working in the community space. So there are your typical community groups and not-for-profits, but also very welcome, like sports groups that might be looking for people, like arts, culture, social services. It might be education as well. Really, it's open to anyone who's working in that sort of community area that is needing people in governance.
Mm. And I know last year we had a couple of different organisations that work in the Kaupapa Māori space. And I believe we've already got one or two registered again this year. So really good, you know, if you're in that space and again, looking for trustees, it's an opportunity for you to come along and, in a way, sell yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
To prospective people.
I think, you know, hearing stuff on the ground is that organisations and community groups do struggle sometimes to find people for governance roles. So this is a really great opportunity to get yourself in front of 100 plus people that have an interest. You know, they've come along because they're interested in volunteering in a governance role. So that really gives you an opportunity that you might not have otherwise to, yeah, get in front of these people.
And it's also an opportunity for you to actually market your organisation. So I know you mentioned that we've got tables set up around the room. We encourage people to bring, like, if they've got a pull-up banner or some sort of other sort of signage that they can put up behind their desk, just to help promote. And it may be that no one's interested at this stage in going onto a board, but it may be understanding more about who their organisation is and what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful way just to profile your organisation to a lot of people that might not have the opportunity to come across you in their every, you know, day-to-day life. So, yeah, it is a chance to sell yourself, I guess. And while it might not be governance people, you know, it might just be a connection that, you know, something might happen down the line if, you know, someone's working for an organisation and they want a charity to support for the month or whatever, you know, then they've got a little seed planted because they've come along to the event and seen you guys. So, yeah, I think it's just, I would say just be really open to people and just not just think that it might be a governance volunteer, but it might be just the connections and networks that you might be able to build on the night as well.
That's right. And it might be someone who comes from a professional organisation, like a legal perspective or an accounting perspective, where maybe just by even having that connection, and if you're looking for, you know, legal support or looking for a new accountant or auditor, it might be there that you're sort of, you know, initiating that connection with them for later on,
absolutely,
as you say. And it's also an opportunity, not that there's a lot of downtime, but if there is, it may be an opportunity. It's more probably likely the setup and pack down to just have even a chat with some of the other organisations that are there on the night.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of community organisations, they don't necessarily get the chance to speak to others across the sector. So, yeah, that's another great opportunity if you do come along that you get to get exposed to some other people and meet some other people working in the space.
Right. And I know that there'll be members from the volunteering Waikato team there on the night, as well as some from the community Waikato team. So again, it might be just an opportunity to build a connection with the advisors between those two teams, and there may be something that they might be able to support you with at a later date, especially if it's around volunteering and how do we recruit and retain our volunteers or anything that's around the governance of your organisation.
Yep, absolutely.
Great. So just a reminder again of when that is and how they can go about finding more information or registering for the event.
Yep, so if you are with an organisation that is looking for governance volunteers, you can jump on the Volunteering Waikato website, and under organisations and then events, you'll find it there, and you can register to have a table on the night. We'd love to see you along. And I guess the flip side of it is also if you are thinking about possibly becoming a governance volunteer, then we do need just you to register for that as well. And we will pop that link up on our website as well. If you might be with an organisation but not necessarily need volunteers, but as an individual you might be thinking you might want to get involved in governance, then you can register and come along and check out the different organisations.
That's a great way for someone, who works for an organisation, like a community organisation or a sport organisation, but wanting just to extend themselves and branch out into looking at that governance side. Yeah. And so maybe looking at a different type of organisation to join their committee or their board. And I know the Waikato Institute of Directors have also got information up on their website as well, and they've got the link for any individual that's looking to come along on the night and have a chat to some of the different organisations that are there.
Yeah.
It's a great event, as Michelle has said, coming up on the 9th of June. We would recommend that you do have a good think about that now, and if you are keen to look at registering as soon as you can, because numbers are limited, I think around that 2024 mark, to make sure that we haven't got too many there and it's not too crowded.
Yes.
And also it's free to register, so there's no cost to be a part of it. And obviously we have a few refreshments available on the night as well.
We do,
To keep you going. So it should be another great night coming up on the 9th of June. All right, so what else is happening in the volunteering space at the moment, Michelle? I know there seems to be a lot of little initiatives that you've got underway.
Yes, so 2026 is the International Year of the Volunteer. Mm. So it's really a chance to shine the spotlight, I guess, on volunteers and what they do in our community. For Volunteering Waikato, we have quite a few different activities going on throughout the year. We have our regular huis, which we do in Hamilton, and we've also initiated the Community Voice huis that are happening in Cambridge and Te Aramutu at the moment, and we're about to do one in Thames in June. And that's really about bringing the community together, talking about volunteering and some of the different challenges that they're facing. One of the initiatives that came out of the Cambridge one was that we did a volunteer roadshow at a local retirement village. So we had, I think, about 13 organisations go along, have a chance to have a chat to the residents and tell them a little bit about what they do and sort of opportunities for them to volunteer with their organisations. So we're looking at doing a few more of those. We've got one coming up in Hamilton. We're going to be at the Linda Jones Retirement Village at the end of June. So if any organisation is interested in being a part of that, just get in contact with us, because we're looking for organisations to come along to that. That village alone has over 500 residents, so it's a great chance to just come along and chat to the residents and sort of tell them about what you do and, some of the volunteering opportunities that you have with them.
Great initiative. Because also, too, there's a lot of people that are probably already living there, that come from Hamilton and already involved in different groups. But then you also get a lot of people that come in from outside of Hamilton who have probably left sort of different sort of organisations or groups that they might have been involved in where they came from. So great way for people to get to meet people and get a feel of the city that they're living in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think today, you know, as people age, they're a lot more active than what they might have been a generation or two ago. So they're looking at different things to do and different ways to be involved in the community. So, we just hope by putting on these roadshows that it just opens their eyes a little bit to some of the opportunities that are out there to get involved in their community.
And I was also looking on your website the other day and I see you've got a couple of little initiatives. One's called the Morning T-Shirt. How does that work?
Yes, that's very simple. So we decided at the start of the year that we would do a morning T-Shirt each month. So organisations just jump on, nominate their team, and then we just draw out a winner each month. And then depending on the organisation, what they want, we can either deliver like a morning tea hamper with lots of goodies in it, or we can bring along a fresh morning tea, just depending on what the organisation wants to do. But that's just a nice way that, organisations can show their appreciation for their volunteers. We know that sometimes money is tight and it can be hard to find funds to show volunteers your appreciation. Mm-hmm. So we thought we would help by, just offering a morning tea shout. And, it's been going really well. We're off to Dress for Success this week and then Cake Detective next week doing morning teas. We've got a bit of a catch-up. But, it's been great. And it's free to just register. And as I said, we just pull out a random winner each month. So, you've got a good chance of winning.
So with the Cake Detective, is that an opportunity to give Laura a break from whipping up the cakes, is it?
Yes.
You'll take her a cupcake instead.
Or maybe something a bit different.
Maybe savoury.
Maybe savoury.
Something savoury.
Yeah,
good old sausage roll or something like that. Hey, that's great. And I see that you've also got a training workshop that's coming up next month as well.
We do. So we haven't done a lot of in-person training, so we thought we'd do some this year, mainly based in Hamilton to start. So we had our first one last week where we just talked about the changing landscape of volunteering and what that looks like now and some of the things that we can do to adapt to it. Our next one is coming up in June. You're going to have to help me with dates here, Riz.
I know. 10th of June. That's going to be a busy little time
it
for you,
isn't
it?
It is a very busy time. So that's the day after Trustee Tinder.
Yes.
And that one is looking at volunteer roles, reimagining volunteer roles. So really, looking at challenging what you've done in the past and looking at new ways that you might be able to have volunteers in your organisation. So whether that is completely new roles that you might not have thought of before. We did some work with some op shops last year and really breaking down roles. So we had, rather than just a general helper, we had someone come in and look after specifically just the books. So that was their responsibility. They'd do like reviews and make sure everything was tidy. So they owned that little space and that worked really well. It was something that they hadn't done before. So I guess it can just be little things, little tweaks to how you do things. Also looking at, how do we maybe break down some of those roles that you have that people don't necessarily have the time that they once did, mm-hmm. but may still want to give back. So how do we provide opportunities for people that are maybe a little bit more flexible, that aren't so heavily time dependent, and, maybe not such a big time commitment as well. It's just really thinking about your organisation and how volunteers are involved in that space in a different way.
Yeah, because I like it. I love the quote you've got here is that, you hear organisations say we need more volunteers. However, quite often the real challenge isn't the number of volunteers, but it's the way volunteer roles are designed.
Yeah.
And you've just sort of given us some really good examples of that. And I know myself, with being in a volunteering role or two, is not having to commit each week. With one organisation, I help out, and it's sort of like every 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really doable.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I'm not having to make sure that it's every Thursday night that I'm there.
Yeah.
It's sort of like once every 3 to 4 weeks. And then occasionally it's like, oh, I've got a real gap, you know, yeah. but I wouldn't mind going back down, you know.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how you do end up going and helping in that space. So I think that's one good way of looking at it too. And just also, you mentioned before about breaking down roles, and I'm seeing more and more now, putting my community Waikato hat on, quite a few organisations looking to split the secretarial role.
Yeah.
Because that can be a really big job, you
yes.
know, and especially if you're going to meetings, you're taking minutes, you're having to correspond with all your members. So I'm seeing now where it's more maybe having a minute secretary.
Yes.
So that person will go along, because not everyone likes taking minutes either.
No.
So it's someone who's maybe good attention to detail, goes along, they do the minutes, whereas then you have your general secretary who does all the communicating out with all your members and maybe out to sponsors or whoever else might be out there. And that's one that we've seen. Another one is around the financial funding side.
Yes.
Instead of leaving it to your poor treasurer to be doing the monthly accounts and also doing all your funding applications, having someone specifically to look at the funding applications.
Yep.
So that seems to be becoming quite popular. And the other one that we're sort of starting to see a bit of a trend on is co-chair. So not just leaving it to
right.
one person.
Yep.
You know, we talked about how quite often the chair role is quite a vital role in
yes.
an organisation, and managing the meeting and sort of, in a way, you're like sort of the ringmaster at times and making sure that, just tapping in and making sure that everyone's, you know, doing what they're meant to be doing. And if you have staff, it's sort of like having that connection and, you know, sort of regular catch up with your manager.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well as ensuring that the governance performance side of the organisation is on track.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. It's that, I guess, understanding and acknowledging that some of those roles are big and are quite do take up quite a bit of time and commitment. So, you know, it really challenged people to think, just because we've always done it that way, it doesn't mean that we can't do it different ways, that there are better ways to do it, and to relieve some of that pressure on people. Because, yeah, the time pressure is real for people. Mm. So, yeah, if we want to get people involved in our organisations, we do really need to look at that time commitment as a really big component of, yeah, whether people do want to commit or not. So, yeah, if we can break up roles and break up that responsibility, but more shared responsibility, that certainly helps people, yeah.
I love the concept around the like secondhand type shops, around, instead of being the general helper, maybe more if you've got a passion around the books and stuff like that.
Mm.
I think that's a great
yeah.
concept, actually.
Yeah. And I think it gives them a bit of ownership that becomes their little
yeah.
space, and then, yeah, they want to make sure it's looking great.
Yeah, and it might be someone who likes clothes and displaying clothes, and so, you know, might be that's something that they want to just do.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're tapping into their passion and something they're interested in, then they're probably more likely to stick around with you.
That's right. And I know, you know, we're trying to get a few more men out there volunteering. I think it tends to still be more females than males
yes.
out there volunteering. So come on, guys. It could well be, you know, there's furniture, there's toys, you know, there's lots of other things where maybe you're a bit more of a DIY type of person.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You can pop along. And I know a dear friend of ours down in Taranaki, very good at fixing things.
Yes.
And so he goes in once a week, and, you know, when people drop stuff off, sometimes not in the best condition.
Yeah.
You know, part of his role is to sort of look at seeing, is it actually fixable?
Yes.
And then generally is able to fix it at no or low cost.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you can then put it out there for sale.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of different opportunities that people might not necessarily think about. But yeah, if you are interested in, you know, and getting involved, it doesn't hurt just to pop into wherever you're interested in and just, you know, saying you've got these skills or interested in this area and see if they do have anything that you might be able to help out with.
Mm. And I think it's also thinking a little bit differently about how to look at getting more younger people involved as well.
And yeah, absolutely. I think there's a general perception that young people don't volunteer, but that's not the case. I think a lot of the time there might not be as many opportunities for them, especially, for the under-16s, where, you know, organisations have a responsibility to make sure that there's an adult sort of supervising them. So that does bring in a little bit more complexity for organisations. But, you know, young people have so much to give and, you know, they're really like to be involved in something they're passionate about, or it might be just upskilling. We've talked to a number of schools at the moment. They're really pushing the sort of year 12s, year 13s to think about, you know, if you want to get a scholarship, volunteering is one area that they look at. What are you doing in the community? So that's something that, yeah, that the students are actually looking at. And I know my daughter did the same thing. Yeah, looked at, right, you know, I'd like to get a scholarship, go to uni, and did some volunteering to help with that. But I also think, I know there's a lot of schools that are getting their students involved in volunteering. We've got some girls coming down this afternoon from Hamilton Girls High School to talk about the Leo Club, which is, I think, part of the Lion Club, mm-hmm. which they're taking into schools and getting younger people involved. Recently, a whole lot of schools came together and did a clothing sale for hospice. I think it was called Restyle, where they all came together and, yeah, did a clothing sale over 3 or 4 days at Hamilton Boys. And, that was a great example of, yeah, young people mm-hmm. taking control and, yeah, coming up with this idea and running with it. So, yeah, I think they've got a lot to give. And I guess the challenge is for organisations to think about and being open to, you know, getting them involved.
Yeah, and to be welcoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that, you know, there is a point of difference between yes. Maybe the way you would do something and the way they would do something. But as you say, looking at getting them involved in something that they're passionate about yes. and that they can have some responsibility to lead as well.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Hey, that's a great way for us to finish off. So just going back to your website address details, if anyone's wanting to know about the Trusty Tinder event coming up on the 9th of June to be at the Kote Pacifica Whale or anything else around volunteering, yep. Your website address is?
Volunteeringwakado.org.nz.
All right. That's great. That's all we've got time for today. So thank you very much, Michelle, for coming in.
Thanks, Roseanne. Lovely to be here.
We will catch up with you all again later. Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.